Hey everyone, this is Gary Kay, and I'm very honored and excited to be joined with my guest today, Dave Labuscus, who's the CEO of Avixa, who puts on the Infocom show, who co-produces the ISE show, which just happened last month. Dave, first off, welcome to my Rants and Rays videocast.
Thanks, Gary. Always a pleasure to be here. It's great to see you.
Same. And we don't get to talk but about once a year. So I'm going to take advantage of this since I got your attention. I know you're extremely busy, but you know, 2025 started off, I feel from my perspective, pretty good considering there was a lot of talk about the tariffs. There was a lot of talk about the political climate. There was a lot of talk about the world events. But you know, ISE from all internal and external viewpoints seemed to be an amazing show and sort of kick off what appears to be 3 months into the year, a great year, but maybe I'm skewed by seeing it from my lens.
Yeah. Well, it certainly was a great show, and blew out all the records of any type of statistical tracking. And in as much as it is a indicator of how our industry is doing, it certainly said our industry is on fire. The general sense is that we are less blazing than we were in the last few years, but more to sort of a more normalized growth rate at this stage. We're still, you know, global GDP is about 2.7. We estimate our industry is growing at about 5.4%. So anytime you're in an industry that's growing at twice the pace of the global economy, you made a good career choice. So definitely have our headwinds, but we also have tailwinds. And the fact that we have shifted to essentially a hybrid office space, a lot of what was sort of thrown in crisis throughout the various different verticals, immediately upon the impact of COVID is getting refreshed, getting, you know, replaced. Yes, there are certainly wrinkles. We are all, you know, get to wake up or go to sleep hearing something new, that's happening globally. And business in general doesn't love uncertainty. We can pretty much manage through anything if we're certain of what is going to be facing us. Overall, we are in a good place as the AV industry.
I feel like companies that are well diversified and also companies that are fluid rather than pivoting are in a really good position right now because they can, as you mentioned, you wake up every morning, hear different stories. You sort of can move and kind of glide back and forth where the opportunities take you. So, for example, healthcare, a lot of money is being spent in healthcare and a lot of changes going on in healthcare, a lot of upgrades, you know, the whole telemedicine thing prior to COVID didn't exist. Everyone was fighting it. Now everyone loves it, myself included. You know, going to urgent care was never a great experience, but now you can do it, you know, telemedicine, and there's security side of it. There's the AV side of it. And then there's the data, you know, the archival and data side of that. There's great opportunities and sort of like being fluid and moving towards healthcare. Hospitality is another area. I think it's doing really well in our industry, which I think drives signage. It also drives, you know, SaaS applications and I should say as a service for lots of areas of our market, and live events seem to be doing, those are three areas that I think are doing really well. And I'm seeing more integrators re-engineer and re-charge their live events teams with virtual production capabilities and things like that. Would you tend to agree with that synopsis that if you're willing to sort of like, I don't want to say chase the moving target because it has always been a moving target, but more be fluid and be diversified well enough that you're not tied to one segment of the market, which really opens up more opportunities, it seems to me.
Yeah, well, I think if you're gonna use pivot and fluid, I'll use agile, and okay. we'll all jump on the buzzwords. I do think that a lesson that all of us should ensure we don't forget is the ability to respond to a complete shift in reality. It's, you know, I suspect your news feed is being inundated with the same as mine, the reflections of where we were 5 years ago. And you and I had many conversations during that time frame about, you know, the future of our industry, the future of AVIXA. And a clear lesson that came out of that was all strategy is based on assumptions and beliefs. And it is incumbent upon the leadership of any organization to reexamine those beliefs and assumptions on an ongoing basis.
Yeah.
It's not that hard to actually have good strategy. What's hard is to have good strategy based on accurate beliefs and assumptions, and then validate those assumptions on an ongoing basis to ensure you shift your strategy when you made the wrong assumption. And if you haven't made wrong assumptions, then you're probably not making any actual strong assumptions. You're actually just observing what's happening. Mm-hmm. And if you are responding in business to what's happening, then you're already behind the people that are responding to what they think is going to happen.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's the playing to where the puck's going to be, right? Is the cliche that's out there.
Yeah.
As to your specific examples, what's fundamentally at the root of all of those is that AV, you just ran in your blog squad another article, right? Probably the 74th that I've ever read. On is AV IT, is AV IT convergence, what is AV?
Yeah.
And it's a great blog that was just published. And, you know, it talked about the fundamental aspect of AV being connections, connecting people to people. And we've been talking about that at VIXA for a long time. That's what telemedicine is connecting people to people. That's what live events is connecting people to people. And we've been talking about the experience economy since the 2010s, and they are, it's without a doubt, the big winner post-COVID. Everybody wants experiences. Everybody wants to be, they want memories. We're actually spending more money as consumers around the world than we were before, but we're not spending it on as much stuff.
Yeah.
We're spending it on experiences. And that's what we deliver as an industry.
Yeah. And that actually, it's interesting you say that, because the brick and mortar world is being kept alive with experiences. If you kind of look at it that way, you know, the industry of golf is being kept alive by speeding up the experiencing and making it more interesting and branching out of just 18 hole linear golf, right? I mean, Top Golf down, you know, the industry of sports has been made more interesting through everything from projecting content on courts to entertaining people in timeouts. And, you know, now it used to be that when there was a timeout, you knew when to go to the bathroom. But now the more interesting content a lot of times in a game is the stuff in the timeouts.
See, we always just get to the deepest philosophical thoughts together, Gary, don't we?
Look on Hulu. The thing I like Hulu for is the markers for the ads, right? I go to the bathroom. Right. But now the ads are getting good. Yeah. So I have to be careful about that. Yeah. So,
it's an interesting interplay, right? And it's always this tension between commoditization and exceptionalization.
Yeah.
Right. So you talked about virtual broadcast. You know, we're referring to that as AV broadcast. And it was a big part of the IC show. We expect it to be a big part of Infocom later this year. It's a one of the fastest applications growing in our industry, and one of the greatest opportunities. And didn't exist. The technology didn't exist 5 years ago.
Right.
Or maybe 10, but the industry itself is this reflection. Everybody's panicked about the Microsoft Teams Room or Zoom and the commoditization of AV, and, you know, we're not going to have any, you know, AV specialists anymore. But then at the same time that that's happening, and we have companies that are being incredibly successful in installing those solutions that have incredible value, At the same time that's happening, we have, you know, training that needs to be delivered around the world for employees that are working around the world in remote locations.
Yeah.
We have shareholder presentations that are being made by executives, and the quality expectations for those and the expectation for broadcast quality delivery of content, whether it's a onboarding, you know, introduction to your 401k for a new employee, or a shareholders meeting for a Fortune 50 company, they're moving to the technology that we provide. So it's, we learn, you know, you mentioned hospitality. We learned that eating out isn't about the food, right? Mm-hmm. We spent a year eating out of styrofoam containers that we picked up on curbs.
Yeah.
That's true. Right. That wasn't eating out.
Yeah.
That was getting food.
Yeah.
Like eating out is an experience.
Yeah.
And AV is a part of that, whether it's good or bad AV, good or bad acoustics. How many articles have we read and written and published about that between the two of us?
Yeah, very true. And you have a much greater expertise there than I do for acoustics, but I definitely can appreciate it because I hear it when I don't hear it. How's that?
Yeah, exactly.
You mentioned virtual production because you are correct. I mean, it didn't exist, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. Mandalorian was the first place most of us saw it actually being used, but we didn't realize what we were actually seeing. Yesterday, I was interesting to prove your point. Yesterday I was driving home. I listen to NPR in my car, you know, to and from work every day. And I was listening to a piece done by one of the NPR reporters where she had done some research with a scientist, a data scientist. I'll make sure I get the right information. I'll put a link to this here where they took, they had people do job interviews and recordings about themselves on the microphone built in their laptop and a microphone like this. And the story was about how the people that had done an interview or had done a recording with a professional mic came across more professional and had a better chance of getting the job than the ones that used the laptop mic. That is interesting data. We're writing an article about it because I put our editor in charge of the person who did the study. Cause I think that's interesting data, even though, you know, it's not, they didn't do it for the AV industry, but what they're talking about is amping up the quality because it does matter because now you're being compared to others, right? That part, even that minute experience matters.
Yeah. We're both old enough to remember Dress for Success, right? And there's still a certain amount of that, that I think is existent.
Except with me.
Well, sometimes, you know, it depends on where you are in the world, right? Dress for Success is show up in a hoodie, not a suit. Otherwise you won't get the job too.
That's
right?
True. That's true.
But I think there is a presence for success that is, an evolved expectation. I mean, the other thing you could probably do, you have enough of them from your archives. Just go back to 5 years ago and look at the quality of all of the people, how they showed up for you on a Zoom call in the beginning. Look at an interview you did of me in March or April of 2020. I'm sitting at an IKEA desk with, you know, a light bulb hanging somewhere and terrible audio and everything's bad. And we've all learned to screen set and our expectations have gone up. So it's, you know, this has happened in human history. You know, the cotton gin was invented and, you know, we were going to suddenly no longer have an industry of people that made textiles. And in reality, what happened is people bought more clothes and there's actually more of an industry than there was before it. And what's happening now is people buy more connections and we're going to. The future is bright. It's Scott Walker, and good friend of yours as well. Mm-hmm. I remember 10 years ago said to me, any business plan that is based on connecting human beings to human beings is a 50-year business plan. And if you've got a 50-year business plan, you're okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I tend to agree with that 100%. And I do think our industry is in a really good position. Obviously, one of the issues we ought to talk about is tariffs because there's, you know, it's interesting. it is in fact going to affect the prices or the cost of goods, right? There's no question. You can't get around that. But the piece that I feel like no one is talking about is pricing is set by marketing departments, not manufacturing departments. In other words, you're going to, just because you have a 25% tariff doesn't mean you're going to raise the price of your product 25%. You're going to compare that to what's out there in the market, and you're going to competitively price yourself based on where you have competitively priced yourself in the past. If you're the high-end company, you're going to price yourself at the high end. If you're the entry-level company, you're going to price yourself entry-level. But ultimately, I feel like all this attention that's going to be drawn, you know, with tariffs and technology and AI and all this new stuff is really playing well to our market, because we're the ones that are kind of, I feel like the future of an integrator is more of a technical consultant rather than a hardware salesperson and integrator.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we've been trying to beat that drum since I took this job, that it's about, first of all, it's what is the purpose of the installation? What is the client attempting to accomplish? And the delivery of that is so much more dependent upon sophisticated understanding now and being the interpreter, the man or woman standing between the customer and the hardware and the software.
Right.
That, you know, tariffs, I guess tariffs is going to be what I talk about in 2025, right? So I spent all of 2024 talking about AI in 2023. I guess I'm going to get asked about tariffs for any time I talk to anybody this year. I was in Mexico the week before last. We've launched, announced our Infocom America Latina, and I was visiting with members and exhibitors throughout Bogota, Mexico City, and Monterrey last week or the week before. They're going to have real impact. They're going to have real impact across the cost of goods and services. They're also going to impact, you know, I met with an integrator whose major account was Ford, right, in Mexico. And yeah, Ford is going to, it's not just first order impact on our industry, right? It's also our customers, the right. impact on our customers and what that's going to do for our industry. I think you have to look at, you talked about the marketing department setting prices. I also think that those prices are set based on value, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And value is,
yeah,
you know, isn't intrinsically part of the hardware only. Right?
Correct.
Value is in solving the problem. Value is in delivering an integrated solution that includes hardware, software, and expertise, right? And there's no tariffs on UX design.
Correct. Yep.
There's not going to be. You can't, right? You can't put a tariff on HTML coding.
Yep.
You can't put a tariff on C++ programming capabilities. And those are all skill sets that we deliver as an industry.
Right.
So there's only a percentage, and we've all been talking about how the percentage of our industry is becoming less and less hardware driven and more integration driven. The more and more it's a services and technology expertise industry, the less it can be tariffed from a primary impact. So I think you have short-term, long-term. These are all easy things to say if you're not the person that just got hit with
right.
a 50% increase on your tariff, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's easy to talk about it in theory.
Yeah.
But I do think the long-term trends, again, are on our side. I think we've got a 50-year business plan.
Yeah. And you just brought up a really good point, and that is the services side of our business. As you know, I've been working with one of the larger integrators in our industry to bring them to where they're doing, you know, the objective was to make them 40% services, 60% hardware, where we started with them, they were 10%. They're in the range of 30, 35% now. And you're right. That's number one. You're not tariffing that, but number two, it's a lot more profitable. Yeah. And what we're really selling to the customer there is, job security in a way. You're selling sort of like the guarantee that it's going to work no matter what, whatever it takes, partnership rather than the hardware. So I think that I guess what you're kind of saying there is there's a bigger picture and a greater opportunity that could actually be forced a little quicker, meaning sort of like what happened with COVID, it forced us into digital transformation. Maybe this will force us into services now faster upfront rather than, you know, kind of taking our time there.
It certainly will advantage services from a margin perspective, right? Like the marketing department has some impact on pricing, but it's also got to make sure it covers the cost, right?
Yeah, so, sure. Well, I don't know about that. There's some companies that actually, for some reason,
ultimately the portfolio, has to get covered. The product portfolio's cost has to be covered, but that's a good point too, is that, R&D is not tariffed either. Right. And so you can shift and move some of that expertise through the supply chain and the value chain of the industry. Again, this is all well and good to say you and I talking about it on rants and raves. When you're trying to run a business and you get hit with these types of things and then unhit and then hit and then unhit, it is going to cause pause. It's going to cause people to take a pause.
Yeah. And I do think that what we'll have a further movement towards brand domination, I guess I would say, in that, if you went back 20 years ago, some of the big brands were driving the end user buy. Now the integrators are much more in control of that than ever before. And if you can shift, right? I mean, you're not tying the customer to one brand. And so if one brand gets tariffed, and as I'm sure you know, some of the companies with the largest presence in China and Mexico and other places that are getting hit with the largest tariffs are rapidly moving production to other countries to offset that at some, but it isn't going to happen overnight. So it does give you the ability to shift. And I think it further solidifies why the brand really needs to be the service that you're offering and the company that's offering the service more so than the manufacturer's brand dominant. And I know manufacturers won't like hearing this, but I think they recognize the value in this. And in fact, by the way, the manufacturers can't sell anything without the integrators. So it does help.
Yeah.
It makes sense if they help the integrators through this.
Well, we should talk more than once a year, Gary. I mean, that's the other part that's really fascinating about our industry is how the value chain over the years shifts and where the predominant player is.
Yeah.
During the supply chain crisis, it was the distributors, right?
Right.
It didn't matter what brand because you didn't have anything. You had to figure out where you could get anything that would do the job.
Sure.
And the integrators didn't have work because they didn't have any product to install. It's not because they didn't have backlog they were busy as they could possibly be. So a lot of value power, like a lot of industry power shifted into that distribution role. Mm-hmm. But then it shifts back to the manufacturer. Sometimes it's at the integrator. And I think that's impacted by all these macro conditions.
Yep.
That's always an interesting part for me. But I think it's also a sign again of the value and strength of the audiovisual industry in that throughout it all, more and more money keeps coming into the industry, more private equity enters, more public offerings are made, and scale continues to go up. And that's a reflection we're delivering value. If we were selling product that was obsolete and not valued, then none of that would be happening.
Yeah. And actually you just made your point too about how important it is to have relationships and partnerships with the brands, but partnerships with the distributors as well as the integrators. They all have to work synergistically, even though sometimes they look at themselves as frustrating to each other and potentially competition to each other. They need to work together. Because ultimately this human aspect of it can solve the problems. The machines can't necessarily make those decisions for us, and we can't let the economy drive them when the customers are still asking for the stuff. Like you said, we're growing at twice the rate of the economy.
So now let me prove that this isn't my first rodeo. And where do those kinds of connections and relationships and
Infocom maybe?
There we have it. That's where they are formed.
By the way, that's infocomshow.org. The registration is open right now. We would love for you to use our code RAVE, R-A-V-E. That is open now. I'm going to put up a little graphic about that, I guess. But it's going to be a big show. I mean, ISE was a phenomenal show. Infocom, I expect, will follow that. Dave, I know you must be excited about it.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. It continues on the path of, growth and delivering for the industry. This year's, I think, going to be even a greater sort of step change, sea change experience for the attendee. Doing an enormous amount of work and understanding what the attendee experience is, the journey, how to see, this is what you have to figure out with a live event now, which is why is it not a video, right? Why is this not a YouTube?
Yeah.
Right. So if you're going to go to Infocom, it has to be for more than what you can get by watching YouTube.
Correct.
Yeah. And that's what we're making sure we deliver on.
You've always has. I mean, I think anyone that decides to stay home because they think they're going to get the news from us or any other publications missing the 75% Infocom. I would grade the 25% we can cover the products, the 75%, the relationships, the opportunities. That's another
the experience thing. Let's take it right back to the experience, right?
Well, that was my third one.
No, I'm sorry.
I mean, and there are great experiences, everything from dinner to Disney to parties to the networking, the fact that you get to know new people. I mean, it's like being on in that week, it's like a college semester at one time where you sort of have that experience, really immersive experience with experts and novices all together in one place, communicating, talking, helping each other, and in even competitors.
Yep.
So infocomshow.org. I know everyone here has probably already heard of it, of course. But if you want, by the way, if you want to get involved with the VIX, they have a lot of things going on, everything from studying the stuff we've been talking about through volunteering and teaching. I've taught now for 20, I think this will be my 28th out of 29 Infocoms, Dave, that I've taught.
That's great.
I missed one.
Thank you.
And great educational experience there. And
I think I may have even gone to one or two of them, Gary.
Well, that's nice of
you. Back in the day.
Back in the day. Well, in any case, I'll be there teaching again this year. I have a session. Put up the information about this session. It's Tuesday before the show, so you won't miss any of the show floor stuff. It's when the big education stuff happens. And I hope that you'll sign up. There's a code below and wherever you're watching this. Dave, I really appreciate you joining me for this. First off, thanks for what you and the association does for the industry. And thanks for coming on here and doing this state. I agree with you. We should get together more than once a year.
All right, Gary, let's promise.
Thank you for what you do.
You have people? How do you do that?
I don't know. They're here somewhere. But in any case, look, thanks for watching, everyone. Of course, you can watch all of my rants and raves at ravepubs.com. Just click on the Rave TV link or the podcast link, either one. That, by the way, speaking of, Dave, you've been on our live TV show every once in a while. We're broadcasting every Wednesday, 9 a.m. live, restream at noon live. Don't forget Rave TV. Thanks, everyone, for joining me, Dave. I hope you have a great day, and thank you again. I'll see you at Infocom.